while we were trying to get everything ready for me to get back into tattooing. I've been tattooing for, God, 28, almost 29 years now.
Right.
And in the beginning, I was like, there's too many shops in Hamilton. I don't want to do that.
Sure.
Let's just, you know, do something different. And with me being an artist as well, we went about that. My wife was making soaps and nail polishes at the time. And we were just, you know, holding the space and trying to figure out where we were going to go with it. And then when we decided, all right, I'm going to come out of my self-imposed retirement. I will join the many, many shops that are here in Hamilton. We then moved over to King Street because it was a better building and was able to accommodate more of us, more artists, as well as be a better building. The first one, we kind of, you know, jumped into a $600 a month rent, and it just didn't fly. So then we, you know, a little more expensive, a little bit, you know, better looking, structurally sound. And then we were there for another year, and just there was a disagreement in the fact of whether or not we should have air conditioning there or not. So then that's when we found the spot on Spring Street, where we had been for the last 2 years. We outgrew our spot. Our landlord at the time was a really wonderful gentleman. But we had too many people that were needing an opportunity.
Right.
And that's pretty, you know, that's what we've always stood behind, is to help others.
Right.
I've been quoted before, when you get to the top of the mountain, you want to send the elevator back down for somebody else. You know, when you're in the pit, help somebody up.
Right.
So I've always, my wife likes to call me the hilly crystal of tattooing, because I'm willing to take anybody and give them a shot to be able to come up in this field. I don't want to be a gatekeeper and be like, oh, you kids didn't go through proper apprenticeships and this and that. It's different. I want to break a lot of the cycles of, you know, abusing apprentices and making their lives hell. But I want to, you know, I've always felt like, you know, people that are deserving of a chance. And that's what we do at the shop. We've taken many, many artists on. We've had some good ones that have stayed. We've had other ones that just didn't, they felt it didn't fit them and they've moved on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's always a matter of giving somebody a chance that needs it. And, you know, in this field, it's very, very difficult. So, after we reopened from the last pandemic, we decided that we were going to expand, because my wife is our nail tech. And we were like, well, you know what? If we get an even bigger place, which we have done on John Street North now, in doing so, we can bring in more services to give more people a job. And, you know, coming out of that last lockdown, we were like, all right, like, people are going to need work. People probably lost jobs. You know, businesses had started to close the last time. So that's when we brought in an eyebrow technician who also did pedicures. That's when we went from myself, Sophie, and Elise, and Berto, to me, Sophie, Elise, Jessica, Diana, Sophie, Berto. So now I think we're at six artists, two of which are apprentices, and a piercer as well. We've hired on a full-time receptionist who handles all the people coming in, going out. She does all the COVID tracking.
Right.
So, you know, the whole thing with moving up was, you know, give ourselves a little more elbow room, but also make more room for more people and give more people an opportunity. Because at our shop, we run it differently. Our shop is incorporated, which means that myself and Tanya actually get paid by the company, as mm-hmm. opposed to it being us that are, you know, if anything happens to the business, it's on us. But we actually take paychecks instead of me keeping half of what I make, like everybody else. We all put in 50%. So basically what I bring in a month pays my paycheck, Tanya's paycheck, our receptionist's paycheck, and then everybody else works on their commission of 50%. This gives people, when they come into the shop, the opportunity to basically, they're working for themselves in the building that I rent. And we all, it's socialist in a way that we're all making sure the rent's paid. We're all making sure the bills are paid, you know, that we're all working together to keep the shop name and each other's names afloat. And it's a really good setting that we have. A lot of people don't dig on it because it's predominantly female. I've taken many, many female artists on, which is kind of unheard of with me being, you know, a cis white male, taking on, you know, 23-year-olds that are, you know, young ladies that are coming up in the game.
But everyone needs an opportunity, though.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my reference to being Hilly Crystal, for the listeners, Hilly was the guy who created CBGBs, and he took many chances on many, many bands, many of which Blondie, the Ramones, the Dead Boys, they came up and made names for themselves just from, you know, this landmark institution, really. So we've carried forth with that, and you know, we've got a good environment and we're happy with it now. But then, you know, we are now into the second lockdown and things have gotten kind of wonky.
Yeah, to say the least, wonky is a term, I suspect. But with you guys, and like many other small businesses here in Hamilton and I guess everywhere, it's always a struggle to bring the dollars in to begin with. But now with this second lockdown, how are you guys? How do you guys keep the keep afloat?
We have no idea right now. During the last couple of months, we socked away money.
Mm-hmm.
When I mentioned earlier that we're incorporated, we did that shortly after, or right around the time that we moved into the new location. And in doing so, we kind of reset everything back to day one because Tanya and I had a partnership, which then was kind of taken over by the incorporation.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, the corporation started at day one. We don't qualify for anything. We don't get the $60,000 SEBA loan. We don't get the rent subsidy. We don't get the wage subsidy. Right now, Tanya and I are on, we just filed our first CRA. What is the Canadian relief, the SERP. Mm-hmm. We just applied to that. And luckily that we're on the books with the shop as employees, we qualified. But right now we're trying our best to, like, our rent just got paid. So we actually have like a few thousand, you know, waiting to be added to the coffers, for February when that rolls around. But at the same time, we're trying to pay a little bit here, a little bit there on the bills to make sure that, you know, everything stays afloat. Because the last lockdown, Doug said 28 days, and 3 months later, we were still in it. And I don't have high hopes that it's going to be just 28 days this time.
You don't got that vibe. Like, I think a lot of us feel the same way, that just 1 month is not going to be enough. It's going to
exactly.
Be stretched out.
And the timing of it was horribly done. If he had done it, say, at the beginning of December, if he had done it when he shut down Toronto, then we wouldn't have had all the people going to the big box stores. We wouldn't have the people that were in the gray zones coming into our zone to do their shopping. We wouldn't have had the holiday shopping season ending right at the beginning of this next lockdown. So in 28 days, all the people that were mingling with their family members and going shopping are now the ones that are going to come up in 2 weeks with, you know, symptoms, and that are going to possibly test positive, which is going to raise the numbers, which Doug and that lawyer who thinks she knows health are going to be looking at the numbers, being like, well, Hamilton's numbers aren't going down. Lock them down even longer.
There's a lot of discrepancies in how this has rolled out. Mm-hmm. Many people are always commenting on it from different data. But I find that when people comment on things, I personally would like to see the data behind the reason why they're doing things. And anything can be molded, whatever. I by no means am I a conspiracy type of person. I actually hate the people who are like that say that this is a conspiracy against blah 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 or whatever. There are no lizards trying to take over Ontario, and why would you?
No,
you're welcome to it. That's just how I feel. but it's I can see the amount of frustration. You can hear it, you can feel it from everyone, from all walks of life, on how much our lives have changed, how much of a financial hit, how much an emotional hit, a health hit. We see people dying all the time. And we sound alarm bells and we get all riled up because we don't think people are caring the same amount that we are carrying. So that's why we hold the government to a higher standard. I mean, we're following your lead. And that's why, and I think that might be half the reason why I'm having this conversation with you now is to find out, because you are a small business owner here incorporated, but here in Hamilton. And yep. I was just the Steel City Music listeners and people that follow the website, you know, sometimes I like to chat with people to give their perspective of how it is affecting their business. Now, when the first rollout came, they gave you a certain amount of space that people could come in, and you guys put together a plan on like appointments, that sort of thing, with the people yeah. that you had there. Now it's like it's completely locked down. Is it still feasible for you guys to operate when this lockdown happens? Because in my perspective, how much money could possibly you would, in my mind, you would need a ton of money right away to keep your business going once the lockdown lifts.
Exactly. So right now we are not able to work whatsoever. As it's written in the provincial decree, personal service settings are closed. That's eyebrows, eyelashes, haircuts, you know, salon, nails. We can't do anything. So yeah. myself and Tanya and all of our employees are SOL right now. We have no money coming in other mm-hmm. than what we're going to get, you know, with CRB. Like I said earlier, we don't qualify for any sort of subsidies. How long ago was it that I was on the news? I had tweeted.
Well, unfortunately, you were on the news on December 20th when it was revealed that someone broke into the place.
Yeah. I have been on the news a lot, Dennis. A lot.
Well, hopefully we can make sure it's for better in the next little while, sir.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So originally I had tweeted just a small thread explaining this is when I was basically telling Doug Ford, shut everybody down, put us in the lockdown, use that $9 billion you have from the federal government and help us. Mm-hmm. Give us all what we need to survive. In my mind, if you put us all in lockdown for 1 month, everybody, only essentials, grocery stores, that's it. Shut us all down for 1 month. And nobody mingles, your numbers will drop because nobody's transmitting, nobody's near each other. And for the small businesses, we need the help. We are the backbone of the economy. I pay more in taxes percentage wise than Costco, than the guy who owns Shoppers and all that. The big corporations, especially the ones that, you know, have lobbyists, they're the ones that are going to be that are making all this money during these lockdowns. Amazon is another one. And we, the small business owners, are the ones that keep the economy going, not just the local economy, but on a bigger scale provincially. There are more small businesses than there are the huge corporations. But the huge corporations are the ones raking in way more money and paying less out because, you know, politicians have made tax cuts and loopholes for them. And so I tweeted this out, and it got legs. It got yeah. legs like Tina Turner, man. And it was everywhere. And so then I ended up on all the news, and I was putting that out there. And luckily, I didn't get any bad feedback from it. I think one troll was like, you know, very much seemed like a QAnon dude. And I was just like, I'm not even answering this. I'm not even sure. giving it a heart to acknowledge.
Yeah.
I give hearts to acknowledge I've read something. I don't even acknowledge that. But funny enough, the only person that gave me any sort of flack was a woman from Newmarket who called the next morning after I was on CBC's The National. And she was upset because I was wearing a Bad Religion mask. just the Crossbuster logo. And she went so far as to look up our number at the shop and to call me and tell me how upset she was. And I didn't have the heart to tell her that I'm a LaVeyan Satanist and I don't really give a shit.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
I don't give a crap about it. But, you know, I let her say her piece and everything. But that was the only backflack I got from it. Everybody else, all of my fellow small business owners that I'm friends with, and even ones that I've never had the pleasure of meeting, were tweeting and messaging me and telling me that it was great that somebody was speaking up on this. And it just kind of came down on my shoulders. Like, why is it up to me, who's, you know, a small business owner in Hamilton of all places, that I have to speak out on behalf of all these small businesses in the province? Like, you know, and even then I'm not being heard by those in power. You know, Doug Ford's not going to listen to this tattooed jerk. He's, you know, I'm just a nobody.
But there is a thing that, that Doug Ford and others who run for office, who are, get in political power, and they there are reasons why they are there, but their minds can be changed when there's a threat of power being taken away from them. So there is power in masses. So when more people get motivated and they understand what the pain that you were going through, they see it since last March, all of what's going on. It's not just it is an echo chamber in a way, but it is a rallying cry for people that people need that, right?
And I totally believe that.
And that's what Ford did to get into power. Like, oh, the Liberals spent all this money, and we're going to rally, and I'll give you a buck of beer and smile a lot. And then there you go. So, but I don't want to get too far into what reasons what I think he's secretly doing, because then I sound conspiracy minded, and I'm trying not to.
Yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
Those are the people.
But to answer your question, the other half of your question from earlier, you said, would we need a lot of money coming out of this?
Yes. That's the only way I could see you surviving.
Oh, yeah.
And to start of that, I read on the internet that you were launching a telethon, which made me laugh out loud. Not that I think it's a bad idea, but it's such an old idea to me. Because as a Hamilton kid, even when I was a kid, like when I was a little kid, Labor Day happened, and you did your Labor Day with your dad and your walk, or your mom, or your aunt, or your uncle, and then they did their thing. But the night before, you watched the Jerry Lewis telethon.
That's exactly it.
Every time they would have it on, they would have all these different guests, all these people, and then it's just like they'd have people on the phones, and then at some point Jerry would come out and have that moment where he'd have to cry, and then he would cry, and then the money would go up. So now, in my brain, since you announced it, I've been noticing you have these different artists coming that have been joining in, and we'll talk about that. But you also have the co-host, a friend of mine, Matthew Serena from Hub of the Hammer. And I'm picturing,
Matt Serena.
And I'm picturing the two of you guys with a camera on you. But before it even happens, you're like going, okay, which one of us is going to cry? Who has to cry in this scene? You know?
I haven't even gone. I I'm almost 45.
Right.
I completely forgot about the fact that Jerry Lewis would cry.
Yeah.
I was just, the whole reason for the telethon is, yes, we need help. And it's not just benefiting us. There is another business in Hamilton that I'm going to be helping as well. And it's going to be a surprise during the telecast. So I reached out to Matt. Matt and I have a little bit of a history. When we first opened, Solar from Poke was like, hey man, do like some kind of benefit, some kind of fundraiser thing. And I was like, I will do that. And that was back in 2016. We did it at Club Absinthe, and we were Matt Serena, Hub of the Hammer's first client.
Yeah.
And so we go back, you know, 2016, wonderful gentleman. I think he's been referred to as Hamilton's good boy. I won't go on record for that. But
good boy?
Oh, he's Hamilton's good boy.
I always thought he'd be more Hamilton's big boy because he's the size of a redwood tree. And if he fixed his hair properly, he would look like the old big boy statue at the old Center Mall. But that's a whole other thing. But yeah, okay, so go on. He's a good boy.
So I reached out to Matt, and I'm like, Matt, I've got this idea. Because in Hamilton, I'm probably going to get skewered for this, but things get oversaturated. Horses get beaten to death. Somebody will do something, and then next thing you know, it's repetitive. Like, if I see another Hamilton is shirt, I will lose my damn mind. It's so many Hamilton is theater, Hamilton is music. Like, as an artist, get a new design. designs, people. Stand out. Don't be a part of, you know, something that's been overprocessed. So I had this idea of the telethon, the old Jerry Lewis telethon, and so I'm like, who else but Matt Serena? And so I get a hold of Matt, and I explain my vision, this idea that I have. And he goes, you know, it's going to start off as Jerry Lewis, but it's going to turn into Weird Al's UHF.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, would it be COVID safe to have somebody drink from a hose? Because I am less than a block away from one of the fire departments. And he was like, if not, we're, he goes, if not, we're scrapping the whole thing.
Right, right, right. So the enthusiasm there and the energy is there for you guys to put this together. And so you, you've come up with this idea. And what are the dates and what is the start time for this?
It will be starting at noon on Saturday, January 16th. Carrying on for 24 hours until Sunday, January 17th, when it ends at noon.
So how many people are helping you put this together? Because you do need a little bit of manpower, aside from the entertainment.
It's been just me. I've reached out to a few people who have very graciously helped me out with little things here. Like there's a website that I can use during the streaming to be able to do virtual interviews online so that nobody has it's going to be taking place in the shop. The way our shop is set up is we have the side that was the bar, which we have to use for reception until this thing clears up, and then I will go through and actually be serving alcohol there. But then the other side is where our services take place, the tattoo room, and then in the back is Tanya's nail room. But the way that we have it set up is there's two entrances on both sides of the building, so we're going to have people load in from the back, and while they're loading in the bar, we're going to be doing the interviews. And when the interviews are done, then we cut over to the performances taking place. Once the performance is done, the cleaning house is sponsoring us with a fogger disinfecting machine.
Oh, great.
So we can just fog the whole room, and then after the band has loaded or performer has loaded out of the front door. The same thing with our interviews. Once they're done, they go out the front door, so we have nobody crossing paths. The only persons that would be going from side to side would be myself and Matthew. But we have it set up so it's we open the show, we go into a performance, we go into an interview while the next performance is setting up, and we just go back and forth between the two rooms. That way we are totally keeping in line with disinfecting, distancing, and everything so that we can do this without violating or putting anybody at risk.
Right. Right. And then that would be the first thing that everyone would be like going, well, I'm going to watch this, but will it be COVID safe? I mean, you know, that's always plays in the back of everyone's mind. Are they doing this COVID safe? Because
absolutely.
You know, right.
And then I'm very big on it.
Well, I mean, I would assume so, because it's a tattoo lounge place where you're doing tattoos, you're dealing with blood. This would be the type of people that, you know, would keep something clean, even if COVID didn't exist.
Exactly.
You know, like you have to have that kind of mentality. Can you give us a rundown of who's going to be on the show thus far? Because I know the lineup is going to be tweaked. There'll be people added, because there always is. Yeah.
I can't look at my list right now because Kojiko's down.
Well, oh, dude. A lot of them. Okay. All right. Well, I'll. Why don't I fire off a few things, because I'm not on Kojiko.
Well, I have most of them memorized.
Oh, okay.
So,
go ahead.
For our performers, we have Thomas Duxbury, Mike Hutchings, Lee Edward McElmoyle.
And these are all musicians?
Yes, they're all Hamilton musicians. We have another actor from the Niagara region who's currently working on a project with my wife. It was supposed to be part of the Fringe Festival, but not. But we're actually, once COVID lets up, we're going to be having him do a one-man show at the shop. And he's going to do an excerpt of his play at the shop. His name's Eric Jedry. I'm trying to think who else we just put on. We have Hamilton comedian Manolo Santanos.
Oh, the
and
great Manoli.
Comedian.
Yeah.
We got the Manoli, and wonderful human being, really. I've met him a few times, and just talking to him on the phone, I was still like stuttering and stammering because it's Manoli.
Right.
So he will be on there. A few other local Hamilton comics have questioned to be on the show. One of them is Jonathan Shaw, and trying to think, we have a bunch of friends from the community, with the community work that we do is, you know, helping out different organizations and such. We have those people coming in that are going to, you know, kind of talk about their organizations and, you know, how we've been a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let people know that we're not a bunch of tattooed scumbags, that we actually have hearts.
Well, here's something that I thought was pretty cool. Is the cooking segment that you guys have put together.
Oh, yes, with the Hardy Hooligan.
Yeah.
I met Stacia, I'd say last year. No, it was earlier this year, sorry. 2020 was a very long 8 years.
We understand.
But I met Stacia, and I've been aware of her reputation. I have followed her account for a little while, and her one employee, James Tremaine, is going to come on to the telethon and do a cooking segment, vegan style.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of vegan stuff gets overlooked, and we're like, you know what, I'm not a vegan myself, but I can appreciate vegan food. So we have them coming on, and there is word that Courage Pro Wrestling is going to pre-tape an event that they weren't able to do live, and they're going to have that as part of the show as well. I'm just waiting on the final confirmation with that.
Right. And of course, there will be, because it is 24 hours, there's going to be, there'll be times where you're going to need some more content for people to view, that sort of thing. So there should be stuff added by the time you get rolling. Okay. Well, you're listening to Steel City Music. Your host Gunner here, and I've been talking and chatting with Jim Watts from the Vagabond Saints Tattoo Lounge and Spa. He's putting together a telethon, Jerry Lewis style, but which will go into a Weird Al Yankovic type of vibe. If you do know those two references, sir, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. Now, how do we get a hold of you? How do people check out what you guys do, the whole nine yards? What are your social media handles and your website?
We are Vagabond Saints on everything. On YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. I think that's all the major ones.
But it's VagabondSaints.com, correct?
Yes, our website is VagabondSaints.com. That's V-A-G-A, not V-E-G-A. And we can be reached through email at vagabondsaints@gmail.com.
Sir, thank you so much for taking the time, and best of luck with the telethon.
Thanks for having me. This has been a pleasure. Hey, this is Jim Watts from Vagabond Saints Tattoo Lounge and Spa. I'm asking that you come and watch our live stream 24-hour telethon on January 16th from noon until Sunday, January 17th. We're going to have a lot of guests and a lot of entertainment for you.
I can't believe it. The way you look sometimes, like a trampled flag on a city street. Oh yeah. And I don't want it. The things you're offering me. Civilized barcode, quick ID. Oh yeah. I'm a 21st century digital boy. I don't know how to live, but I got a lot of toys. My daddy's a lazy middle class intellectual. My mommy's a Valium, so ineffectual. Ain't life a mystery? I can't explain it. Things they're saying to me, it's going yeah, 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 oh yeah. 'Cause I'm a 21st century digital boy. I don't know how to read, but I got a lot of toys. My daddy's a lazy middle class intellectual. My mommy's on Valium, so ineffectual. Ain't life a mystery?
Man, I miss spinning that track
Bad Religion, 21st Digital Century Boy. Hey, Steel City Music, your host Gunner here. And in this last half set of our little show here, this hour really, went into the old well of music that I used to listen to way back in the day. And on my brain, for some reason, was Lou Molinaro, thinking that him and I used to listen to this music at the same time and really enjoyed it. Why I think that, I have no idea. In this set, you can hear Canadian great The Fix, One Thing Leads to Another. Also, all of this music kind of makes sense in my brain because it all came out around the same time for me in my brain. Different versions of Wall of Voodoo. Stan Ridgway, Andy Priboy, who took over for Wall of Voodoo when Stan Ridgway left, and had a great track called Far Side of Crazy, which they should never have kept the name, I think, because they could have just started a different thing, and I think it would have taken off a lot better if they didn't keep the name Wall of Voodoo. But, you know, that's the past, so we can't fix the past now, can we? So in this set, you're going to hear The Fix, Romeo Void, Never Say Never, great sax part in this, love it. Andy Priboy, of course, with the track Tomorrow, Wendy, with the girl from Concrete Blonde on vocals as well, who later released it. Three from Wall of Voodoo, Far Side of Crazy, Mexican Radio. But first, starting things off, Ring of Fire, Wall of Voodoo, on Steel City Music.
Thank you. shoulder and the touch of a world that is older. I turn the switch and check the number. I leave it on when in bed I slumber. I hear the rhythms of the music. I buy the product that never use it. I hear the talking of the DJ. U.S. inflation, I understand just a little. No comprende, it's a riddle. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican, whoa, radio. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican, whoa.
Labeling in no way infringes upon First Amendment rights. Labeling is little more than truth in packaging, by now a time-honored principle in our free enterprise system. And without labeling, parental guidance is virtually impossible.
What I suspect is that because rock and roll music reaches so many different people, and it does reach them on a repetitive level, and it does form an important part of their life, if you can control that medium, you are going to be able to control the ideas which go out to those young people. And there are some people who don't want to have young people thinking too much because you got to keep them really stupid to buy certain products and to vote for certain people.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Destroy what I love most, and I remain on the far side of crazy. I remain the more. magazine. I stroke the shaft of my guitar and watched you on the screen. I become now what I wanted to be all along. A psychopathic poet, the devil's bastard son. And I remain on the far side of crazy. I remain the mortal enemy of man.
Walking to the end of the line, there she meets the faces she keeps in her heart and mind. They say goodbye. Tomorrow Wendy is going to die. They're shooting for the moon and smiling Jackie's driving by. They say good try. Tomorrow Wendy's going to die. Tomorrow Wendy's going to die. Coming. God got his ass
kick the first time he came down here slumming. He had the balls to come, the gall to die, and then forgive us. No, I don't wonder why. I wonder why. Thank you.
You're listening to C101.5 FM, The Hawk.
My next guest is an old friend of mine, and he is no stranger to the Steel City Music blog or radio show. Joining me right now is Steve Deeps. Hi, buddy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very happy to speak with you. It's good that we finally connected as we're rolling into the Christmas holidays here. And full disclosure, this is a pre-recorded interview that'll be airing on January 8th. On the Hawk for Steel City Music, but it'll be out on the Steel City Music website, and we'll be sharing it to everyone to let everyone know what's happening at the Muletide, because Muletide goes online in support of Over the Bridge, and that'll be happening on December 19th. And Steve, you put this together, part of a campaign with our friend Ace Piva. Tell us about this.
Normally at this time of year, we throw some sort of a fundraiser show with a bunch of different acts at the Mule Spinner.
Yeah.
Last year, we kind of finally dubbed it Muletide. And this, you know.
Hold on a second. You almost make it sound like it was a struggle a little bit there.
Well, we did one the year previous, but it just didn't have a title. We were just throwing a party.
Right.
But last year, we finally kind of gave it a
name.
A proper name and a home.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've done is we did a bunch of video footage out of last year's Muletide,
mm-hmm.
and I cut up and mixed all the sound, did the video for 9 artists. So we've got a bunch of content that we want to share, and ideally we would do it in person this year, but we can't, obviously,
still
for
right.
COVID reasons. And then I was sitting around and I was like, well, it might make me feel better to kind of do something, feel like a
sure.
music person again, and try to put this show online. But we're going to have a live aspect to it too. We're going to have a couple of guests play during the broadcast, but it'll